Turbocharging had existed since the early 1900s, primarily in aircraft and racing applications. The principle was simple. Use exhaust gases to spin a turbine that forces more air into the engine, allowing it to burn more fuel and produce more power without increasing displacement. Porsche had experimented with turbos in racing, but no mainstream manufacturer had successfully brought turbocharging to everyday cars. The technology was considered too expensive, too complex, and too unreliable for regular drivers. Saab's engineers, many of whom still had backgrounds in aviation, knew turbos intimately from fighter jets. In 1976, they began testing a turbocharged version of the Saab 99. The challenges were immense: managing heat, preventing engine knock, designing a turbo system that could survive 100,000 miles of daily driving. On February 10, 1977, Saab unveiled the 99 Turbo at the Stockholm Auto Show. It was a revolution. The car took a 2.0-liter four-cylinder engine and, with turbocharging, produced 145 horsepower, performance that matched much larger engines while maintaining reasonable fuel economy. Automotive journalists were stunned. Rodentrack called it a triumph of engineering over convention. The 99 Turbo became a legend. It pioneered the concept of the sleeper, a modest-looking sedan that could humiliate sports cars at stoplights. More importantly, it established turbocharging as a viable technology for everyday cars. Within a decade, nearly every major manufacturer offered turbocharged models. Saab had, once again, proven that pure engineering innovation could win. But there was a problem embedded in this success. Saab had reinforced its identity as an engineer's brand, not a volume seller's brand. By the mid-1980s, Saab Automobile faced a crisis. Development costs for new models were skyrocketing. The company sold roughly 130,000 cars annually, profitable but too small to fund next-generation platforms independently. Saab's parent company, Saab Scania, wanted to focus on trucks and aerospace. The automobile division needed a partner. In December 1989, General Motors purchased 50% of Saab Automobile for $600 million. The deal promised resources and scale. GM would provide platform engineering, supply chain efficiencies, and global distribution. Saab would maintain design independence and Swedish identity. It sounded perfect on paper. In practice, it was a cultural disaster. GM's philosophy was standardization and cost efficiency. The company built cars on shared platforms, using common components across multiple brands to maximize economies of scale. Chevrolet, Pontiac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Cadillac all use variations of the same basic architectures. To GM's executives, Saab was simply another brand to slot into the system. Saab's engineers saw